Welcome, Campbell Bible Church. Thank you for tuning in today. Today we are going to be back in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, we technically finished it last week, but I want to look at it just for some context today. We're going to enter into Matthew chapter 10. So have your Bibles, go ahead and open up with me to Matthew chapter 9, and I'm going to start in verse 35. Now, before I start there, let me take you back to something that we considered last week. And I'm going to keep asking this because it has great connection to the study that we're currently in. And we're going to be talking about it several weeks in a row here. But what is our purpose? If you think about it, we talked about this last week too. But what is our purpose in life? Our number one purpose in life is to bring glory to God. To bring glory to God. Now, again, we are in Matthew chapter 9. Please follow along in your Bible as I read, starting in verse 35. Then Jesus went out about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Let's open it with a word of prayer today. Lord, Heavenly Father, I pray for those who are tuning in digitally, Lord, and for those who are joining into this time of worship. I pray, Lord God, that you would open up our hearts and open up our minds to the understanding of the truth of your word. I pray, Lord, that you would use the Holy Spirit in our lives today to bring us understanding of the text. I pray, Lord God, that where we need to make changes, that you would make that apparent in our lives. Convict us, Lord, where we need conviction, and help to change us where we need that change. And Lord God, we just thank you for this time that we can gather together in your name. Amen. Well, as we discussed last week, Ezekiel chapter 34 is the prophecy of Jesus coming and caring for the sheep. Now, as we continue in Matthew chapter 10, we see that Jesus is preparing his own disciples to go out and help him reach some of these sheep. So look with me, chapter 10, and we're going to start in verse 1. And when Jesus had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits, and this would be demons, to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, who his surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Now these 12 Jesus sent out. Now Jesus was not the only worker. He was not the only laborer. Now he was a teacher, and so he sent out his disciples as apprentices almost to do the work that he had already been doing. Now Jesus is training and equipping these men to go out and be teachers and preachers and evangelists. So Jesus instructs to first pray to the Lord of the harvest for the workers. And then he shows us the kind of people that God gives to go out and be part of his ministry. Now, again, we have Simon, who we know of as Peter. We have Andrew, which is Peter's brother. James, the son of Zebedee. James's brother, John. Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, who is a tax collector, and we all know what the Gospels say about tax collectors, and James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who was both a thief and a liar. Now, Jesus was given these men. You know, we can think about that a little bit more, but Jesus was given these men by the Lord of the harvest. And so Jesus was to train and equip these men for the ministry. Now Jesus gave them everything that they needed in order for them to be ready to do their ministry. Everything that they needed. Now, notice the vocations and lifestyles that these chosen ministry workers had. And again, these are the kind of laborers that God chooses to go out into the fields and bring in the harvest. Now, they are all average or even below average men. You know, first we have Simon, who is known as Peter, and Peter's brother Andrew, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. What, all four of those guys are fishermen. They're just average guys or average workers for the day. They're not scholars. They're not rocket scientists. You know, there's nothing key about them where they go out and they're great orators. Okay. As we go down through the list, you've got Matthew, the tax collector, and nobody likes a tax collector. He's not a great guy to begin with because he's a tax collector. And then Judas Iscariot, who was a thief and a liar. These are a collection of the men that were given to Jesus to be used for his work. You even think about Thomas. What do we know Thomas for? Thomas is a doubter. You know, none of these guys are even huge in their faith where they will walk forward without having any difficulty or any problems. You know, many of us, as we sometimes feel that we are called by God to do something, or God puts something in front of us and we say, oh, okay, well, maybe I can do that after I get some more training or some more understanding, or maybe in a couple years from now I can do that. Whereas God wants us to do this thing right away. And our natural thought in this is to be afraid of what the possibility is for this. But God gives us everything that we need in order to accomplish his plan for our lives. Now, each man was equipped with what he needed, including Judas. Judas had so many opportunities to turn away from sin, and still he gave into it. Now, notice that Jesus gave his disciples power to heal the sick and the lame. And he gave them power to cast out demons. Now, this was not their natural power in any way. This was the power of God lent to his servants for a limited time as a way to make his reachable area more reachable with the available help that he had. Now, make note, I said this on purpose. This power was a limited time. Now, there are those that teach that once you become a disciple of Jesus, you are gifted automatically these same powers. But there is nothing in this text or in the rest of Scripture to suggest that. This is something very specific given to these chosen men for a specific duration of time or for a specific mission for them to go out and complete. Now, look with me at verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, Jesus gave specific instructions to his disciples about where they were to go. They were not to evangelize the Gentiles at this point. They were to focus on the lost sheep of Israel, or we might say the unconverted Jews. And what was their message? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, your Messiah has come. He's here. Choose whether or not you will follow him. Now, I want to center in on this lost sheep of Israel. Last week, we discussed how God's people are considered sheep, and how Jesus had compassion on them because the Pharisees and really many other leaders throughout Israel's history were not being good shepherds of the sheep. Now, a good shepherd is to care for the sheep. They are to lead the sheep to where the good green food is for them to pasture in. They are to guide them to the water. They are to calm them in a storm. They are to protect them from danger. They are to keep an eye on them so that they don't wander off. Now, this is what a godly shepherd does for his sheep. Now, be thankful when you have that kind of shepherd in your life to care for you. Now, the lost sheep here in verse 6 reminds me of Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, which says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, why I am reminded of this passage is because the Israelites have had many, many opportunities to be reminded of God's greatness, and yet so many continue to walk away from what they know is true to what is maybe more comfortable or more desirable in their lives. Now, we at one time or another have all gone astray. And outside of our salvation with Jesus Christ, we are all enemies of Him. We have all turned to whatever way that we want. And God the Father has put on Jesus our iniquity. In fact, we know that Jesus bore our iniquity on the cross. And I find it interesting here in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6 that it uses the term iniquity and not sin. And I'm thankful for that because the text is giving us another way to think of sin. Now, I believe that when we hear the term sin often enough, it no longer is as terrible as God sees it. You know, we become more desensitized to the meaning. Now, iniquity means lawlessness. It means straight up evil and wickedness. It's the things in life that we run from, that we hide our faces from, the things that cause us to be sick. This is how God is identifying our sin, the sin that put Jesus on the cross. Now, even though we lived in such disgrace, even though we did not see God as love, and even though we were an enemy of God, He still went out and searched for us as a lost sheep. And for those who have not trusted in Jesus as their Savior, He searches for you. Now, before we know God, we are a lost sheep. And sometimes, even after we know God, after we have deliberately asked Jesus to forgive us of our sins and have desired to be a part of His family, we still run off and decide to do what we want over what He wants. Now, let me ask you again, what is our purpose? What is our purpose in life? It is to glorify God. Now, in order to glorify God, we need to give up whatever wall or burden or obstacle that sits between us and God so that we can have a stronger relationship with Him. The stronger our relationship, the more that God can do through us and the more that we will see His hand of blessing in our lives. Now, there are five steps in how we need to approach our relationship with God. Number one, we must seek God prayerfully. Now, prayer needs to be at the foundation of everything in our lives. We are to ask God every day how we may glorify Him. We need to ask God every day to bless the things, the projects, the work, and our task list for that day. We need to ask Him to bless it and give Him opportunity for Him to encourage us through it in order to accomplish the work in our lives. Everything we do needs to be at the very base built on prayer. So number one, we must seek God prayerfully, and we need to seek Him daily. And the biggest way that we do this is through prayer. We need to establish a life of prayer. Prayer needs to be important to us. It needs to be vital to us. We need to consider prayer like how diabetics need insulin in order to live. It needs to be that important to us. Now, if the Lord of the harvest is the one who blesses our labors to bring in the harvest, then we need to be seeking God through prayer continually. Where does prayer sit in your daily important things to-do list? Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 12 through 13 says, "Then you will call upon me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart." Great reminder, we can't search for God halfway or just a little bit. We need to seek with Him with all of our heart. And we need to do that through prayer. All right, number two, we must seek God diligently. We must seek God diligently. Now, if we do not seek God, we will not find Him. The shepherd searched until he found his lost sheep. God wants us to find Him. God wants us to grow in His love, His grace, His mercy, His wisdom, and His understanding. But we cannot do those things until we are regularly seeking Him and really care about when we are not. Now, maybe that's another good question to ask yourself today. How disappointed am I when I miss my daily connections with God? Let me ask that one more time. Think about it. how disappointed am I when I miss my daily connections with God? You know, do I just look at it and say, okay, well, no big deal. I'll just do it tomorrow. And it just becomes mundane. It becomes that thing on the checklist. Oh yeah, I prayed today. Or is it, I need to pray. I need to go before Jesus Christ. I need to go before my Father and have some really good talks with him about what is on my heart or what he's doing through my life or how I can draw closer to him. You know, if we're not approaching God every day with a desire to pray, a desire to be diligent to him, then we're missing something, something significant in our Christian life. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." All right, number three, we must seek God humbly. Now, humility is a modest or low view of one's own importance. In other words, we are making God more important when we continue to seek him in order that we might know him better and that we may serve him in the manner that he wants to be served. Now, I think that's an important piece here to make note of. There are many times when we identify that we are serving God. But have you thought about how God wants to be served? James chapter 4, verses 6 through 8 says, "But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Number four, we must seek God honestly. Now, this means that we need to approach God in sincerity. He knows the truth of our heart. We should approach him not like we are hiding something, but open and ready to be open with him and accept what he gives. Now, be careful not to approach God with your mind made up already. If you approach him with an already made up mind and ask him for wisdom, even if he gives it, you're not going to take it. Remember, come humbly before God, open, ready to be honest about the depths of your heart, ready to have your heart and mind changed. Now, we shouldn't worry about what God might say, because even if it is different than what we were expecting, it is going to be better than anything that we had expected. Psalms chapter 16 and verse 11 says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." All right, and then our last one, number five, is we must seek God obediently. We must seek God obediently. Now, God has called us to have a relationship with him, and we enjoy that relationship. We need to follow as he directs. And when we follow God and obey him, that gives God the indication that our desire is to grow and desire to know him more. 1 John chapter 5, verses 3 through 5 reminds us that God's commands are not burdensome, but they are helpful. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 through 5 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. He loves us as we keep his commandments. Now, let me ask you one more time. What is our purpose? Our purpose is to glorify God. Now, we have had several really good verses today that we can take this week and meditate on, but let me highlight just one that would be a great addition for verses for you to meditate on and memorize for your Christian walk. It is in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, which again says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Now, if our purpose in life is to glorify God, then we have to begin with faith. And then we need to earnestly seek and follow God through these five steps in approaching Him. Our faith grows the more that we grow in our understanding of His Word. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Our faith can also shrink. We need to make our faith as big as we can get it, and that is all dependent on our relationship with God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, Heavenly Father, help us to expand our relationship with You. Lord, help us to come to You every day in humility. Help us to come to You every day through prayer and not assume what You want us to do or assume what You're thinking. But Lord, help us to come before You with thankful hearts and open hearts to be changed in any way that You want us to be changed. Help us, Lord, to have a growing, thriving Christian life. And I pray that we wouldn't be that sheep that decides to do whatever it wants to do and it's lost and it's gone off and run off on its own. Lord, help us to stay close to the shepherd as You are our great shepherd. And Lord, we are reminded through You that You do so much for us. You take care of us so perfectly over what we could design for our own. And Lord, we still desire many times something else. And I pray, Lord, that You would curb that desires in our hearts and lives. Help us to be focused more on You today. Help us this week as we go out and we fight our spiritual battles and we work through life. Help us, Lord, as we approach life to approach it prayerfully with humility. And I pray, Lord, that You would continue to build in us and encourage us as we need You even more. Thank You, Lord, for Your love and Your goodness and Your mercy in our lives. In Your name, I pray these things. Amen.